The Public News Service Daily Newscast, March the 24th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First to Georgia, where a health group is concerned about people's health outcomes as the COVID-19 public health emergency is set to expire. The details from Daniel Smith.
The Medicaid continuous coverage requirement starts to unwind on April 1st, and an estimated 545,000 Georgians could lose their health insurance in the process. Paige Havens with the Gwinnett Coalition says its goal is to raise awareness about the changes that will affect people's insurance status and access to COVID-related resources. She says those who want the latest COVID vaccine should get it while it may still be free based upon their Medicare, Medicaid, or Care coverage.
That is going to become an individualized basis. We're going back to that normal healthcare model where, based upon where you are and what coverage you have, will determine if you have any out-of-pocket expense.
Havens emphasizes that free COVID-related services offered by private companies will begin to roll back once the health emergency ends. She knows fewer options and choices will be available, and mobile units could also shut down as many were funded by federal dollars.
People enrolled in Medicaid, Medicare, and Peach Care will be asked to reapply. The process of redetermining eligibility can take 12 to 18 months. And the U.S. Department of Energy has opened a short public comment window on an experimental nuclear technology in Idaho. Eric Tegetoff explains.
The agency has released a draft environmental assessment for testing of what's known as molten chloride fast reactor technology at the Idaho National Laboratory. The technology is from TerraPower, a company owned by Bill Gates developing nuclear reactor designs. Head of the Snake River Alliance, Lee Ford, is critical of the experiment, saying it won't benefit Idaho.
First, nuclear energy is too slow and expensive to help with the climate crisis. The environmental assessment says that maybe 10 jobs will be created, but we're not sure if those people are from Idaho or not. And third, the waste created from this experiment will stay in Idaho.
Ford says the technology uses highly enriched uranium, which presents proliferation fears. The Energy Department says it's committed to reviving and expanding domestic nuclear energy to help the U.S. reach its goal of net zero emissions by 2050.
The public comment period begins on March the 17th. Now from the Washington Post, the TikTok CEO, Suzy Zhu, tried to allay mounting national security concerns about the Chinese-owned video app, but encountered open hostility Thursday in his first appearance before Congress, and they called him evasive.
This is Public News Service.
Advocates for Michigan's LGBTQ community are calling lawmakers' move to expand the state's civil rights law to include them a victory that's been a long time coming.
The measure, Senate Bill 4, turns a series of court rulings into codified law, giving protections from bias based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. Tracy Hall with Outfront Kalamazoo, a community resource center, says because the state's Democrat-controlled legislature put the law on the books, LGBTQ rights can't easily be undone.
We had a court ruling, we had local ordinances, but now we actually have field protections in our state statute that do protect us when it comes to hiring and firing, public accommodations and housing. And these are big things.
Michigan joins 22 other states and Washington, D.C. to extend basic civil rights to the LGBTQ community. Most, but not all, Republicans oppose the legislation, calling it a threat to religious freedom. I'm Mark Richardson.
Natto, Ohio, where school nutrition providers told lawmakers this week they are tired of hounding parents for school lunch money when their child's account accrues debt. Darren Guarano is the director of food and nutrition at the Alexander Local School District. Each week, he reminds about 250 families they've begun to accumulate lunch debt. That is more than a third of the school's population.
I'm not trying to be a debt collector. I need to not hit the hard stop because at that point, I'm going to have to look at this child and tell them they can't eat today. And it's heart-wrenching to see it. And it's even worse to know that it's coming.
According to the group Hunger Free Schools Ohio, it would cost the state less than $2 per child per day to provide free meals to all students in the state. Finally, from our Alex Gonzalez, the Mexican gray wolf population in Arizona is on the rise.
According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, last year's population represents a 23% increase from the 196 wolves seen in 2021. Craig Miller with Defenders of Wildlife has been involved with the Mexican gray wolf recovery effort since the beginning. The group is celebrating the 25th anniversary of the wolf's reintroduction. He says collaborative efforts among agencies, conservation groups, and the public are to credit for the recovery.
At the end of the day, the decision was made to proceed with reintroduction. In 1998, I had the privilege of witnessing the return of one of the most endangered land mammals in the world.
Miller says his organization over the years has managed to create partnership projects that have led to the reduction of vulnerability to wolf depredation.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for ending your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. Here's our radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.